Hey mama, welcome back to part two of how to live on one income. Now, if you weren't here last week and you haven't listened to last week's episode, make sure that you do because that is where I've covered the first five tips. Today's episode will cover the last four tips of a total of nine tips of how to live on one income. And these are not in any specific order, so it doesn't matter if you listen to this episode first or if you listen to it second. I just decided to split this into two episodes because it would have been super long and a whole lot to digest. And we want to be able to take these tips and run with them. So I didn't want to overwhelm you with them, right? So go grab that pen and paper and, you know, maybe a cup of coffee and whatever it is, get comfy, right? And let's jump into the second half of how to live on one income. Hey friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I want to invite you to grab a free 30-minute clarity call with me. I know that you have a lot of questions about living on one income. I know that you are trying to figure out what you can do to get your finances in order. And I know that you are overwhelmed. And because of that overwhelm, you're not taking action. You're kind of frozen in inaction, right? So on a clarity call, you will walk away knowing where you need to start, what you can do to start, and you will have the motivation to take action right now. So go to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell, that's calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, E-N-E-L-L, and take that first step towards financial peace right now. Alrighty, so last week we covered the first five tips of a total of nine, right? So I'm just gonna touch on them just so that we can have a little bit of a recall, remember what those are, right? So the first one was to know where your money's going. Then we had to budget, like to create an actual budget that's actually going to get you somewhere. Then we have give every dollar a job. Get your bills out of your spending money so then you don't have to worry about spending that money, right? And create a payday spending plan. Now we're going to dive into the next four tips that this episode is all about. So the first tip that I want to talk about today, which is actually tip number six in total, is to edit your spending costs. So in order to live on one income and still achieve the goals that you desire, you have to learn how to edit your spending costs. And I'm not specifically talking about, you know, those coffees or subscriptions, but also learning how to have the mindset of doing things that keeps money in your budget. So sometimes things that are costing more can be like your grocery budget or maybe gas budget. There can be so many things that you need to edit. It could be the fact that you're bringing in more money, but you've like put a whole bunch of that money towards life expenses that you just enjoy instead of things that you actually need, right? And I don't want to say that you can't put money towards things you enjoy, but you do want to make sure that you have it in priority first. So you want it set up in priority of your needs, your wants, and then your future wishes. And if you don't have like your future wishes and your want or your needs in there, then maybe your money is all going towards those wants, like right now in the moment. And we want to be able to split it up. And that's why they have like the whole percentage things when it comes to budgeting. But we want to be able to split it up so that we know that we're not being overrun by spending right there in the moment. Again, what I mean by this is that there was one time, so I've decided to cloth diaper my child, right? Well, I decided to do that because it kept money into my budget. And this is a way that I figured out how to edit my budget, was I put money back into my budget by cloth diapering, because yes, there was a high expense at the beginning of getting it, but in the long run, there was money back in my monthly budget. That $50, give or take, that I spent on diapers for my first child was back in my budget that I could spend on maybe going out to eat, or maybe I needed it for actual groceries, right? Whatever I needed at the time, I got that money back because I wasn't cloth diapering anymore. I was cloth diapering instead of buying the diapers and the wipes and all the stuff that comes with diapering, right? And so that's where I saved some money there. That was an edit that I did in my budget when my next child came into the picture, because it gave me more money in my monthly budget. So sit down, look at your finances and figure out what you can change. Can you get rid of something? Can you lower payment? Can you cut costs in like your bills? Like, what bill can you call and maybe get a discount on? There are so many things that you can look at and look into doing, and we just don't do it because we don't know it's something that we can do. So sit down, figure out what you can do, and edit your budget. Make it be more what you want it to be instead of what other people say it has to be. Tip number 7 is learn to be frugal and not cheap. So in order to live on one income, you've got to be frugal and not cheap. Just because you think that something costs less and you're being cheap because the price is less, but the quality is less, then if you would have just bought the thing that's a little more expensive, you might have saved yourself money, because that thing that's cheap could be breaking down within 2 months and you have to go back and buy it every 2 months. And that's not something that you want to do. So you want to look at quality, you want to look at price, and you want to find the best in the middle spot that you can. So being frugal, it's all about finding a way to spend less money on something that you need, right? But not at the expense of quality. So if you find a sale and if you buy things you don't need, that's not being frugal. If you find something that's lower cost and it's just cheaper than the other products, but again, it breaks and you end up buying more and spending more, that's not being frugal. You are searching for quality things that will last but at a lower price, and sometimes that takes time. So sometimes it does come down to how much time do I have to sit down and look at this product that's going to get me the furthest, like the best bang for my buck, and still last, right? But sometimes you don't have that and you just have to go with the cheaper thing, and then you regret it down the line. But in the moment, you know, sometimes you do have to weigh what's going to give you the time versus money, like which one's going to win, time or money. So definitely try to figure out that balance. Where does it work for you? So sit down and think about the things that you buy on repeat, or the things that you make a trip to go buy. So things like bulk grocery buying, setting up subscriptions on Amazon's for things like toilet paper can get you a lower price if you buy it monthly. So sometimes those subscriptions are a good thing because it does cut the price, but only if it's something that you use all the time, right? And then there can be like clothes shopping and so much more for those things that you have to go to. Maybe you don't live in a big city like me. Like, the largest city closest to me is about 4 hours away, and those are like big cities like Denver and Omaha. That's 4 hours away from where I live. I can't get to big cities like that very easily, so it does take a trip to go and buy clothes. Like for my daughter, I found the store that I really like that's $1 a clothing item, but I have to take a 4-hour trip to get to it, right? So I'm going to be frugal. I'm going to figure out the best way to do it and figure out a way to cut those costs, right? But again, I'm being frugal and I'm not being cheap. Okay, so then tip number 8 is to create a plan. So a plan or a mini budget, you know, every single time that you want to spend money. If you want to live on one income, you need to create a plan for your money in every area of your life. That is another part of my definition of living frugally, is to have a plan for your money in every area of your life. So things like buying groceries, have a meal plan. Buying clothes, create that detailed plan of where you're going to go, when you're going to go, because otherwise if you just go to random stores and you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up wasting your time. You're going to end up wasting your money because you may be spending more than what you want because you found another place that you like later on, right? So with that plan, you'll be able to make the better choices for you in that moment. Buying presents. That's why we do budgets, right? Like Christmas budgets and holiday budgets. Buying paint, you know, plan that out. If you're going to paint your house, know what paint colors you're going to buy. Know how you want your house to look. You know, buy samples instead of going and buying a whole bunch of gallons of paint that maybe don't even go together. And you just were randomly like, oh, I like this one. Oh, I like this one. But do they really go together? And are they going to cohesively make your room feel homey and the way you want it, right? So growing a garden, holidays, birthdays, there's all these areas in your life that you want to have a plan for. This is how you stop the random buying of things that you think you need, but you really don't when you plan things out. That's why when sales pop up and you're like, ooh, I can save money, but are you really saving money if you're buying something you don't need? No, you're not. This is how you keep from buying things that never come out of the box, that keep their tags on them, or if you use it once and never again. So like those clothes items that maybe you're like, ooh, this top's really cute, but then you get home and nothing goes with it, right? You're not going to wear that shirt if you don't have any pants to go with it. That's why you need to like think about everything. I know it takes time. And it's annoying and having to plan this stuff out. But if you want to live frugally and if you want to be able to use every single dollar to its fullest amount and to get your bang for your buck, right? You have to have a plan for it. Otherwise, you're just going to end up throwing money away because you're going to buy things that just sit on the shelf and never get used. By the way, pro tip here, sell those things. Get rid of them. Have a garage sale. If you have not used it in over a year or in over 5 years, you're not going to use it. Get rid of it. Okay. So if you don't create a spending plan around your frugal buying, then when you're out buying, you're not going to follow through. You're not going to actually buy the thing that you're wanting to get because one, you might forget, and two, you might see something that's distracting and you're like, oh, I like that thing, and then temptation comes and you buy that instead of the thing that you actually need, right? So if you don't have a plan, now it doesn't have to be a, like detailed, in-depth plan that's going to have like a 5-page essay of how you're gonna do every single thing. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But you do need to know what you're going to buy, where you're going to buy it from, and the price that you are willing to pay for that item. And whether you're willing to go to a certain amount of stores, like are you willing to not buy the thing, go look at another 2 stores, and if you don't find it, come back and get it kind of thing? What is your plan? What are your boundaries? What is your philosophy? You need to know these things when you go out and especially have like a big spending trip, because those things can burn a hole in your pocket real easily and you can end up overspending or out of money faster than you were actually planning on, and then not even getting the things that you actually need. So those plans, those mini budgets, are a lifesaver and a game changer when it comes to big expenses that are like your clothing and your presents and your groceries and, you know, all those kind of things. And then tip number 9 is to communicate. If you want to make it on a one income, then you have to communicate with your husband. I know it's hard. I know it stinks. We're so ingrained to go out into the world and be independent and not rely on other people. And this isn't a relying on each other. It's more of being respectful and including them in the plan so that they know what's going on and they don't feel left out. They don't feel like you don't care about them. They don't feel like you're just going to do what you want to do and to heck with what they want to do, right? And so it's really important for you and your husband to talk. If you do things your own way and you don't factor in your husband's wants and needs, you're never going to be able to stick to your budget and you will be in constant fight mode. I know, I've been there. It could possibly mean that you're going back to work because you don't like fighting over your money. And you have to work together, even if you're the one doing all the work. Like, you may be the one sitting down filling out the budget because you enjoy that kind of thing. But again, if you don't include your husband, the things that he needs you to buy, like maybe it's body soap, maybe it's a new hat, socks, underwear, like you may keep close tabs on those things. But if you don't include him in that kind of thing, then maybe there's a project that he wants to do. And he's going to be like, well, what did you do with all the money this time? Like, why can't I do what I want to do? Because we are always doing what you want to do, even if it's like simple things like groceries and the basic needs of your household. If that's all the finances you have and there's not a lot of extra income, right? He's still going to feel like he's being left out, like he's being neglected, essentially, because you are just doing everything without talking to him. And like I said, it's a respect thing. It's not a babysitter thing. That's not even the right word. But he's not wanting to know, and he's not, he may say, I don't want to know about this. But in all essence, all you really have to do is say, hey, it's the beginning of the week. Payday is coming. I'm about to sit down and allocate all our finances out because I've created a what? I've created a payday spending plan that has a paycheck plan in it, right? And that is going to help me know where I need to allocate funds because I'm asking him, I'm saying, hey, what do you need me to add to this paycheck, this pay cycles finance budget? Like, where do I need to put money that's going to make you feel seen, make you feel heard, make you feel like you're actually getting something out of what it is that you're making? Like, your husband is the one working right now. It's not you. And so he does sometimes feel cheated out of that money if we're the ones like putting it away and moving it around and not letting him know what's going on. I know I'm the oversharer. I like to get his say on every single little thing just because I like to be in the know. I like people to include me, so I make sure that I include them. And like I said, it's a respect thing. It's not a tell me or else kind of situation. And so that is why it is so important that when you sit down to create a plan of action each payday, you need to run it by your husband. At the beginning of the week, ask if there is something that he needs added to that budget. Think about things that you need added to that budget and talk about it together. See which one holds more priority if they both need to be done. See who can hold off and see if maybe yours can get done this payday and his get done the next payday. Like, figure out how to make it work together. Think about things that you need to, I feel like a broken record. I about said the same thing, but like your weekly needs, your monthly needs, your goal needs. What is it that you need to get done? What goal are you guys working on? Like, when you sit down to create a monthly budget, you need to figure out what goals are you working towards this month? Or is there so much going on that you don't have the finances to be able to handle your goals, your yearly goals? And take care of like the extra doctor bills or dentist bills or things that are going on. And so that is why it is so important that you communicate with each other. It's going to really like stop the fights. And yeah, I know some people do not want to talk about money. It just makes things stressful. But if you make this an everyday, well, an every week thing, and you don't make it like something that is, this is what we have to do or else kind of thing. It's just a simple, well, I'm going to do this nonchalantly. Is there anything you need me to add to it? You know, kind of like you would if you're creating a meal plan. Ask them what they want for supper, right? If there's anything specifically that they need bought at Walmart, because I mix in my what I call consumable items. So those are things like toilet paper and toiletries and all that other kind of stuff that is still a grocery item to me, but it's not a food product, right? So I ask him, is he out of hair soap? Is he out of body soap? It's kind of that same type of nonchalant talking that you need to include him with so that he doesn't get overwhelmed. And eventually you'll be able to talk about it as if it's nothing and you won't get into fights over it, and all because you have went through the communication and you're being respectful of him. And so he's going to in turn be respectful to you, right? He's not going to make you feel like he's the one making the money, so he gets to choose what to do, right? It's kind of like that give and take kind of thing, and it's going to feel so much better in the long run. It's going to be hard at the beginning, but once you get through it and you've done a few months and you both like what's going on, it's going to be so much easier to be able to handle the struggles, to be able to handle the what do I do with this money that isn't already planned for? Where do I put it? What do I allocate it towards? And you're going to be able to manage your money so much easier because of that. I know I've talked a lot about communication, but it is so important. Like that is, if you don't do anything else out of any of these tips that I've given you, this is the one that I want you to focus on. I want you to start communicating with your husband about your finances, because that is how you are going to be able to break through so much. You're going to have like a joyful life instead of trying to be like, well, I want it this way and I want it that way. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be around that. You don't want to be around that, right? We want to be able to work cohesively together. And the best budget out there in the world is not going to work for anybody if you are not communicating. So first and foremost, definitely get your communication with your spouse. Get it going. Get it started. Start there so that you can then create a budget together, so that you can then together start figuring out ways to be frugal. Maybe then go through your budget and edit things, cut things out that you both know you don't need. Add things in that make you more joyful. Figure out where your money is going together and why it's going there, and figure out why you're struggling and why maybe your husband's struggling spending in those areas. Figure out what your budget needs to look like and where every dollar needs to go so that your life is your own and your family is cohesively working together, joyful, and able to look at money without it being stressful. You're going to be able to separate your bills from your spending money without stressing over whether you're going to have enough money, because you're communicating together and you know what's going on. I know that when I'm in the dark, I get stressed. I don't like not knowing what's going on. I like surprises. Yeah, those are fun, but I do not like long-term not knowing what's going on and feeling like I'm being left out. Your husband doesn't like that. You don't like that. So work together and get this all set up for you and your family. Don't do it alone. Do it together. And that's one thing. If you get into a coaching package with me, we are going to, yes, it might be you and me on the call, but you are going to take what we have figured out back to your husband. He's going to look it over. He's going to say yes or no to things that he likes. You two are going to work together. You're going to tweak it and you're going to bring it back to me. That is how you will know if it's going to work. That is how you will know if you will stick to your budget. if you do not work together and you do not communicate, you will create this elaborate, amazing budget that in theory will work and do all these amazing things, but in real life will not happen because you are in two separate worlds when it comes to your finances. You are not on the same path, and so you are not going to be able to get that budget where you want it to go. So first and foremost, the very first thing I want you to do, and I feel like a broken record, but I want you to get that communication figured out. I want you to start talking to your husband about money. Even if it's little bitty things here and there, just to touch on the subject, just to get it under control and figure out, like, maybe you ask him why every single time we talk about money do we get into a fight, if that's something that happens all the time. Why do you feel this way? Is there something that I do that makes you feel this way? Like, what can I do to make it better? And then you have to not let your emotions get the best of you. You have to put them underneath the table and you have to allow him to speak to you, even if he gets emotional, even if he gets crazy. But you have to stay calm so that you can understand why he's feeling that way, and then you can tweak things that you're doing and you can start working together. Now, I am not a relationship coach, so please take that with a grain of salt, but I know that this has really helped me, and with a lot of different relationships that I have, is to not let my emotions get the best of me, right? That's how you actually understand what's going on. And so that is why I did want to touch on that, but definitely start with your communications. Okay, so I'm going to go back through the 9 tips. So the first one, know where your money's going. Tip number 2 is budget. Tip number 3 is give every dollar a job. Tip number 4, get your bills out of your spending money. Tip number 5, create a payday spending plan. Now, if you want more in detail about those, definitely go check out the last episode, which is episode 67, and I go into more detail about those. But like I said, it'd be way too much to put both of these together. Tip number 6, edit your spending costs. Tip number 7, learn to be more frugal and not cheap. Tip number 8, create a mini plan or a mini budget every time that you want to spend money. And tip number 9, start communicating with your husband. All right. So before you head out, I do want to invite you to grab a free 30-minute clarity call with me. And I know that you have so many questions about living on one income. And I know that you're trying to figure out what you can do to get your finances in order. And I know that you are overwhelmed and struggling to take action. So on this clarity call, we will walk together and you will know where you need to start, what you can do to start, and you will get the motivation to start taking action today. So go to calendly.com/Molly Bunnell. That's calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, Enell, and take that first step towards financial peace. And with that being said, I will see you all next week on another episode of the One Income Family. Hey friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies. So I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, mama.